Welcome to the Busy Leaders Podcast, a catalyst for inspired action, a high-energy, high-fun podcast hosted by Quint Studer. In each high-impact segment, Quint chats with the individuals on how they're navigating today's environment. Quint and his guests showcase best practices and how they work in different contexts. You'll often walk away with tactical tools and tips that you can apply to your own role, business, community, and life. I'm Nicole Webb-Bodie, the Chief Impact Officer at Studer Family of Companies. Quint is a well-known healthcare operator, author, coach, and mentor to many. He has dedicated the last 3 decades to creating tools and techniques that make healthcare a better place for physicians to practice medicine, patients to receive care, and employees to work. He has written numerous books, articles, and his work is always based on evidence, research, and tools and techniques. For more information and to listen to previous podcasts, visit thebusyleadershandbook.com/podcast. If you're interested in learning about our upcoming events, both virtual and in person, visit healthcareplussg.com. Joining today's podcast is David Bartholomew, the Senior Vice President for Learning at the American College of Healthcare Executives, ACHE. David shares insights from this year's Leadership Congress that'll take place March 20th through the 23rd in Chicago, and he'll discuss some of the biggest trends in healthcare right now. The podcast will include topics on the future of healthcare, why conferences function as safe spaces for dialogue around the very complex issues that healthcare leaders are facing, solutions for workforce issues, the sense of community and belonging, and the importance of healing the healers. Now here's your host, Quint Studer, and our guest, David Bartholomew.
Well, I'm very excited. I'm excited about all shows, but you know, David, you and I go way back, and I was just blown away last year when I went to ACHE Congress, the amount of people he had, because I think, again, that was still a tough spot with a lot of proof of vaccination. And I just went in, I didn't think I'd see 4,000 people. And I think that has a lot about your content. So when you look at this year's Congress and the content, because you have to put together content, and man, there's so much going on in healthcare. It's so much more complex with different players, different payment systems, different ways of delivery. You know, how can you possibly put something in for everyone? And then you have executives from giant organizations and MHA students from many schools. And of course, you and I are on the board of CAMI together. So tell me, why is this year's Congress to you so important?
Well, thanks for having me, Quentin. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Congress. It's actually probably my favorite thing that ACHE does. And I have such a great team of folks that help support, you know, Congress within my role at ACHE. And I think this year's event is really, you know, first and foremost, I believe it's a unique opportunity to connect with other leaders and really create that meaningful peer network that folks can leverage to extend that formal delivery of, you know, what you get from a professional development experience, whether it's Congress or something different, and really creating that kind of informal and truly life-lasting and valuable peer network that lets you extend learning into that daily setting. And I think that Congress gives that. And, you know, we have a lot of different content areas that we'll dive into during our time together. But, you know, I feel like that's the first thing that I think is continuing to evolve and improve each year. The second thing that I think, and it kind of goes with the first, is this notion of giving leaders a safe space to, you know, connect with each other and connect with subject matter experts to really come together and talk about some real issues that are, frankly, quite complex, and they're impacting their organizations, you know, every day, whether it's workforce or an equity initiative or just keeping the doors open through financial sustainability. And I think that's really the piece that I think is what most is cherished about Congress, is that ability to craft a place where people can have those dialogues free of, you know, commercial bias or any other influence, and really have, you know, a moment to share what's going on with them, hear what's going on with others, see what is in common, and, you know, find and identify some new ideas. You know, the other thing that we've been working on internally at ACHE, I think, to evolve the event, and we hear about this, we survey our attendees on everything, and sometimes to the point that I don't know that I always want to read the feedback, but it's great to get that feedback. And, you know, one thing we heard last year from early careerists in particular, and I think students as well, is this idea of having some structured takeaways. So hearing the big ideas was helpful, but, you know, people are struggling in their daily lives with managing the complexities of work and navigating all the different things that they have to do in a really pretty strange setting. And so one of the things that we heard was, give me something that's a practical application of what I'm hearing so that I can go back to my employer and do my role better. And so I think that's really a new element. And I'm excited to see how those practical takeaways that are going to be part of every session are, you know, really going to evolve that attendee experience. And then the last thing I think that is just key is, you know, we're really proud of Congress being a differentiator and looking at, you know, our core audience, which has been hospitals. And, you know, this year, I think the team has done an exceptional job at pulling in some alternative content areas, really thinking about the broader healthcare continuum and how do we really pull the entire healthcare sector together in a way that's meaningful for them. So those are my things of why it's so different this year than it is in priors. Some of them just build upon the past, and others are forging new places to go in the future.
Well, I think you mentioned three things I thought that I took away. One, the safe. I think when you go to something like this, we know many healthcare organizations are struggling financially. And it just gives you almost like a support group to talk to and find out you're not alone. I think the second thing I just love is the takeaways, particularly with again, you say early careerists and students, but even other people. Normally, healthcare people are really smart. They understand the why, and they usually understand the what. The challenge they always is, well, tell me how. And you're providing some hows this year, which I think is incredible. I think you're right. It's so different when you look at possibly the largest employer of physicians in the country is an insurance company right now. When you look at the various providers that are out there, and to come up with something is pretty tricky without losing the core of why we're here to all get better. And the other thing, and you didn't talk about this, but I truly like, is how strict you are in selling and promoting. I don't think people are coming to this thinking they're going to be sold to or promoted. You're very strict on that. And being a person that's presented, I appreciate that. Because I think as in the audience, also, you don't want to feel you're being sold to or being hawked something. So I think you've really, over the years, continued to hone this and get better and better. Just out of curiosity, when is the Congress?
It's March 20th through 23rd.
Okay. And if I want to learn more right off the bat here, I'm so excited right off the bat, I want to go online. Where do I go?
You can go to ache.org.
Perfect. Well, thank you. So what's the biggest change that you see in our industry? You hold the conference every year. When you look back, you say you have a great team. What's the biggest change you've seen just since the last one 11 months ago now?
Well, I think it's not so much a change since the last one. I think, you know, it's workforce. Truly, workforce has been on the top of people's minds. And we do a CEO survey. I think it releases, in fact, today with modern healthcare and the top issues that are confronting CEOs. And you know, the workforce has figured prominently the last 2 years. That's a new addition. Financial sustainability, financial pressures has been a historically top point. But, you know, workforce, I believe, has just surfaced to everyone's mind. And I think that is one of the things that you'll find addressed heavily at Congress this year, even more so than last year. You know, it's addressing things from resiliency to supply and demand in the workforce, and then to, you know, just redesign and thinking through how can we lower overall administrative burdens of our leaders so that they're, and even and clinicians, truly every individual within that setting, to help them perform to the best of their abilities and the top of their license. So I think that is not only impacting healthcare, but many industries right now, but it's particularly acute in healthcare. So one of the things that we have this year at Congress. This is a new session, actually. It's one that I think is truly, ideally, one of the most popular sessions at Congress. I think we have about 800 people in this particular session. It's the AHA special session, and it really is titled The Future of Our Healthcare Workforce. So the American Hospital Association has a workforce task force, and as you know, ACHE has a deep and robust partnership with the American Hospital Association. We work together closely across a lot of things, and we're thrilled to have Ron Werft from Cottage Health, who leads that AHA Workforce Task Force at Congress. And he's going to present, you know, statistics and predictions from the AHA data that exist around the various healthcare workforce challenges, which includes moderating a panel of really distinct executives that is going to include, you know, a chief nursing officer, rural and health executives, other health equity perspectives that will be represented. And a lot of their work is really centered around fixing the work that people are doing, as I mentioned, really to focus on that top of license piece. And they're also addressing kind of the staffing crisis in hospitals that, you know, really isn't anticipated to abate anytime soon. And we just have to identify a variety of ways to address that issue of, you know, understanding how we can really satisfy the workforce needs in those settings. And I know you actually have a session, Quint, at Congress that is on this very topic with, you know, Katie Boston Leary. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about what you're going to discuss with regard to the nursing workforce.
Well, thank you, David. Yeah, I just, what you said resonated with me. When I talk to executives, it's staffing. And then the other challenge they have is new leaders. 25 to 50%. The other day I was in an organization, 68% of their leaders have less than 3 years experience. So you have inexperienced leaders with inexperienced staff. So I love some of the work you're doing in that arena. Yeah, Katie Boston Leary with the American Nurse Association. I've always respected her a great deal. And I was in Orlando Health, and I'll try to go fast. Our people want to hear you, not me. And they asked me, Quint, you travel the country. What are you seeing in different inpatient care models? Because, you know, this isn't new. The pandemic just made it more apparent, but we've been struggling. Heck, in 1995, I was trying to re-engineer a hospital I was at. So this is not new stuff. It's just we haven't been successful in the past, but now we have no choice but to be successful. So Orlando Health asked me what I'm seeing, and I felt, gee, I can talk about Mayo Clinic care models. I can talk about Bon Secours Mercy on Scribes. I mean, I can hit little things. What Orlando Health was doing. Everybody's doing something. TriHealth, everybody's doing something. So I got curious about it. And I said, we fund it because I like research. I'm a big research nut. Let's diagnose before we treat. And so I asked Katie if the American Nurse Association would be interested in being supportive. She said yes. And then we hired Jocelyn Insights, which was interesting because when I asked them to show me some research, a lot of it's protected research. Somebody's paid for it. This will not be. This will be totally transparent that anyone can get a copy. So what Jocelyn's been doing with about 50 nurse advisors is creating a survey tool, and it's out there where people can talk about what they're doing. And Duke's doing some great things, but nobody's finished at the finish line. We're probably on the 10-yard line or 20. But we just want to present what the research is showing, what we're hearing, and hopefully position them to go to other people and learn what they're doing, because there's no final answer here. But we just want to open up the conversation to a national or international conversation on what people can look at. Is this working? What's the drawbacks? What's the angle? And then we, you know, we also have York, we have little, you know, hospitals. We just have the whole gamut, because I think we're all in this together. So I'm so appreciative. We've had AONL has now hopped on, almost you guys, because it's all about sharing the data and making healthcare better. So I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm the warm up act for Katie Boston Leary. So I'm the what is it when the warm up band comes in for the star. So and she'll be great, and I'm excited and appreciate their support. What are some of the trends you're seeing? You know, I'm on a board, TriHealth in Cincinnati, and about 2 years ago we had somebody come in and talk about private equities entering of healthcare, for example. You know, we talk about data, some of the data-driven things that we're seeing, better use. As you know, I'm a big fan of precision medicine, which I think reading today, even today's paper, I was reading the Wall Street Journal on this day, which is what, February 13th, I think, or something like that, we're taping this. And they talked about the changes of artificial intelligence and getting to healthcare earlier and some of the things they're seeing. So talk about what are some of the rising trends that are going to shape the future.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk a lot about technology at Congress. So I think at a high level, we're going to really discuss, you know, what can private equity do as a solution? I think I have a few topic areas even with you today to talk through about, you know, responsible innovation and what can private equity do to help shape, you know, a different direction in terms of disruption and be positive in that impact. You know, Vivian Lee from Verily now at Harvard is going to be a great example of using big data and artificial intelligence and all of the different ways that we can really personalize care. I think that is one of her key points. And we're going to talk a lot deeper about that. You know, from a variety of perspectives, I think we've got more tech at this year's Congress in terms of sessions and kind of tech providers that are really working and partnering with healthcare than we've ever had at any of our events. And I think, you know, also looking at retail health. And so what is the intersection between innovation, technology, and other outlets outside of the hospital four walls to deliver a continuum of care? So, you know, having folks from Walmart, Walgreens, et cetera, those are going to be really key topics at this year's event. And I think it'll be helpful to take that same aspect and then kind of unfold that and figure out what do people need to do in those traditional settings to evolve, to incorporate, adopt, or change their thinking to really navigate to that next wave of healthcare delivery in the future. So I think that's going to be very interesting. We have some really great keynotes too. In that same framework of, you know, talking about the future and the infusion of technology. So I think that's going to be probably the biggest trend that you're going to see in terms of what we're seeing that is going to be applicable at Congress.
Yeah, I was talking to Juan Lopez's retirement party. I was talking to Marty from Ardent, and he was talking about some of the really cutting edge technology that they're using to help their caregivers. And it also provided opportunities for some caregivers who maybe physically can't do some of the work today, but can still play a role because they still want to answer their calling. Well, transformational leadership, and I'm so glad to see this as a topic. Nicole, who's, you know, you've heard earlier today, knows I talk about this. In 1927, the term transformational leadership was introduced. And I think it was wonderful. It talked about building trust, building all those wonderful things. And somehow I think, and things just happen. We became transactional. And I think we're going back to transformation. You know, you've got John from Grady. One of my greatest experiences I ever had was being able to work personally with Grady Health. And it was really fascinating to watch what they have done. And I always said, if Grady can do it, I think we can all do it with some of the challenges they had. And John's a tremendous leader, as is Joanne. So talk a little bit about the rise of transformational leadership.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, one of the key things at ACHE and part of, you know, my team's role is to shape content creation for the college. And, you know, we have an entire competency framework at ACHE that looks at, you know, key domains for leadership and healthcare management excellence. And I think, you know, for us, you know, just like you said, the building of trust is, I believe, a table stakes element in today's world and environment for leadership. You know, you can't, without trust, you really can't build a sustainable and engaged workforce. And so, you know, we address in our competency framework at ACHE, you know, this orientation in someone's career path and journey towards being transformative. And, you know, when I think about, you know, how we believe that is, you're not only impacting your organization as a transformative leader, as a transformational leader, you're really impacting the broader profession. And that is one thing I think we aspire for anyone that's within the college, that's part of this broader fellowship of healthcare leaders that are within ACHE. And you know, certainly as people go on that fellow journey to become an FACHE, we believe that's part of that. But I think, you know, with this particular session that you mentioned, with Dr. Joanne Conroy from Dartmouth Health and John Hoppert from Grady Health in Atlanta, I think they're going to talk about some real essentials in what it means. Because one of the things that I think is we've certainly learned over the last couple of years is this notion of creativity and the value that creativity plays in the workplace. You know, rethinking the traditional and coming up with alternative solutions. And I believe one of the pieces that we all want in our teams is for people to have this kind of blue sky thinking so that we can address these really complicated things in a very non-traditional way. And so I think that is a key piece that they will talk through in that session about, you know, being a transformational leader. And then I think the other piece that's really fundamental is getting out of the way and avoiding this, you know, complex top-down approach that, you know, is a historical way of leading, and really letting people think about hearing from you in a way that's authentic, that's sometimes vulnerable, that can bridge this trust gap and help people understand that, you know, you're all orienting towards something that is positive for, you know, the organization and ultimately patient outcomes as healthcare providers. So I think that's a real piece, is letting people lead their own teams and not having to kind of constantly get in the way. And then I think the other one that is part of that orientation towards really thinking about the broader profession and impacting people more broadly is and this is going to be definitely part of that session, is this concept of, you know, speaking up and having a voice that addresses topics that are currently impacting those communities that people are serving. So it's working with the board and other governance structures to really set an overall tone for leadership and talk and tackle those complex pieces like social justice or climate and the impacts that it has on that community, or even the workforce that is in that hospital serving those that are impacted in the community. So I think there's a lot here that we can, I think, address and really promote, because I think all of us aspire that, you know, we are being transformative in our own approaches and ultimately bettering not only organizations, but the profession at writ large. So I think that's really a key piece. And I think you mentioned this frequently, Quint, is this concept of, you know, building and bridging kind of mission and purpose and making people feel that alignment of the work that they're doing towards the broader purpose. And it's a calling, you know, healthcare is a calling, but it has a lot of critical points that, you know, aren't always easy, aren't always, you know, readily navigable. So I think it's pulling people together on that common mission, that common purpose, creating that alignment, that trust that you're there and that you actually really care about those that are working alongside you. So I think that's, you know, some of the pieces that we'll talk through at Congress.
Well, you know, David, Catherine Meese, at University of Alabama, Birmingham, Dr. Catherine Meese has some new research that you and I've talked about and looking at. I've seen it, the preview of it, and it really looks at some things differently. It says the number one reason people stay on a job is no longer my boss, it's the senior executive team. Do I trust the senior executive team? Now, we know that's through middle managers, but how do you, middle managers are authentic. They're not going to say anything they don't believe. The second thing you bring up, which is the number two issue of why people leave, is I don't feel comfortable sharing my concerns. I don't think the environment is an open one to share my concerns. So you just nailed with this presentation. And it's different. I've looked at research for years on this, and these are changes. The third one is sense of belonging. Do I fit in here? Is this the place for me? So, man, this is exactly what Catherine's research, which is, again, brand new, and it's new to me. I was talking to some executives the other day, and I said, no longer is it, oh, people leave their boss, you know, leave their job, they leave their boss. No, it's way more about the senior executive team right now than it's ever been before and the type of cultures they create. So this, I'm pumped about the whole entire conference, but this is really exciting. Well, I was talking to somebody at Virginia Commonwealth University and a professor there, and she mentioned something that was interesting. She did a quote, and she said, you have to get the caregivers well in order to get other people well. And I like that. And you talk about healing the healers. So why don't you talk about that part of the Congress?
Yeah, actually, you know, interestingly enough, so Tony Armata is our current chair at ACHE. And Tony has talked a lot about, you know, restoring wellness amongst, you know, our workforce and staff. And, you know, that you have to have a leader take care of themselves before they can effectively take care of someone else. And we've all known that notion for a long time. I don't think we always, you know, heed that, that knowledge and understanding. But, you know, I think, you know, talking about just the workforce overall and, you know, how do you help create connectivity, as you were just saying, Quint, you know, building trust and understanding that, you know, you have to let people take care of themselves. And so we have a speaker this year at Congress, Ben Nempton. He is going to be on the Wednesday luncheon at Congress, and he's one of our keynotes. And he talks a lot about finding purpose and meaning again in our lives. And that's part of that wellness journey, you know, so that you can not only rediscover, you know, your personal purpose, which is really essential to being who you are as your true self, but really helping you also through that rediscovery and kind of wellness journey, if you will, create a better sense of communication with your team so that that can ultimately, you know, roll out more effectively. And I think one of the things he talks about in kind of wellness for staff and the workforce is not only thinking about yourself personally, but also connecting with people personally. And that's that part of, I think, authentic leadership that we were just discussing. So, you know, really focusing a little bit about, you know, how you can connect with someone in a professional environment, but at a personal level, and let that deepening of that relationship impact how they ultimately perform and perceive their own well-being and engagement. So I think that'll be a really interesting session.
Well, and, you know, Tony really role models exactly what he's talking about. I mean, when you think of authenticity, caring about people, I mean, he's the poster for that. Laura McClellan from Virginia Commonwealth University was the one who talked about, you know, we have to get people well. And before we move into the next topic, I think it's really interesting because in healthcare, it's not lack of resources, it's lack of utilization of resources. And talking again to Katie Boston, Larry, some of their work, less than 3% of people in healthcare will ever access some of the services that are available. So moving through some of the stigmas and moving through that. And interesting too, David, I met Laura when I was at Congress last time. I talked about my own health challenge, and her father had the same health challenge. And she said she had almost a need to talk to me. So afterwards, we talked and actually created a relationship. And she's done some really wonderful research on this whole idea of not only belonging, but the impact that compassion has. So, you know, anytime you get your own personal history, when she went through her father's cancer to then his death, and she talked about the fact that it was him and his wife's long-term wedding anniversary. He was in and out of consciousness. He was near the end, and he just happened to mention to a nurse it was his wedding anniversary. And when his wife came back into the room, she'd gone to the cafeteria. There were flowers and a card signed by all the nurses saying happy anniversary. That impacted her so much that she's gone and researched this whole idea of when you show compassion, what it does to the family and so on. So I'm really excited about this whole entire Congress. I got an off the shoot question. Nobody can go to all these things. So there's things that happen at the same time. How can someone who attends and can't go to everything, is there ways they can also get access to things they couldn't attend?
Well, the handouts are usually in the app, so people can see right. that are part of those presentation materials. I think that Congress is tough because there's so much stuff. And I believe, you know, it's just you pick the things that are going to resonate most with you at that given moment. And then, you know, we don't record Congress sessions outside of some of the key things that we might do with a luncheon, et cetera, or opening session. And those are usually just because we give awards to our wonderful healthcare leaders that are, you know, supporting the profession and their work. But I think that, you know, it is about picking and choosing. And we do have some options that let you go a little bit higher than we historically have, Quint. But, you know, I do think it is, you know, you're going to have to miss some stuff to pick the best stuff that's best for you at that moment.
Most organizations divide up. You go to this, you go to that. I think the app lets me know if I really want to dig deeper into something I can't go, who should I contact? Who should I call? So I think there's lots of learning opportunities. Plus, you see people.
I mean, absolutely.
You see people. I remember last year having a long conversation with Warner Thomas and, you know, just about what was going on. And of course, he went from Ochsner to Sutter, and you know, learn that. Bill Castellan, you know, all these people, Bill Santilli, who's advocates. All, I don't know if I talk to people and then they merge or leave, but anyway, I hope that's not what I cause. But yeah, I think there's a wealth. You can't leave without walking away better than when you came in. So let's talk about one of the great things about Congress is a sense of belonging, the sense of inclusion. I mean, that's what Congress is all about. You walk in and you gravitate. I remember college students coming up to me because they'd read a book or something. So talk about that, because I know that's very important to the HCHE, that sense of inclusion and belonging. You've been a real leader in that arena.
Yeah, I mean, I think ACHE, I mean, we've had a long history in supporting, you know, commitments to diversity, equity, and inclusion. It is a core value of ours. It's core strategic plan that we have. And I think that, you know, even in last year's board meeting, they, you know, further shaped our strategic plan to really dig deeper in this concept and notion of leading through a lens of equity. So, you know, I do believe that's part of our work as a catalyst, a connector, and trusted partner for people in the profession. Inclusive leadership, I think, to just build upon what we were talking about, Quint, with trust amongst your workforce, you know, inclusive leadership is truly table stakes. It allows individuals from every dimension of the workforce to feel part of the whole. And that is really essential in today's environment. It lets us align purpose and potential. And I think that, you know, what we believe is that, you know, inclusive leadership positively impacts the patient care, you know, and it supports all of our work around equity and ensuring that we are thinking about equity as someone that an institution and profession that supports communities. So I think that's really important. So we're talking a lot within the content perspective about culture shaping and really forming and shaping inclusive cultures. That is part of that transformational leadership journey that you referenced a little earlier. So at this year's event, we have a lot of sessions that address diversity, equity, inclusion, and in particular, inclusive leadership. And I'm really excited about one that is from a past chair of ACHE, Gail Capozzalo. She's part of the Equity Collaborative and the Carol Emmett Foundation. And Gail's going to talk about the value of inclusive leadership and what that brings in terms of its diversity element to organizations and how, you know, how can leaders further dismantle bias that really prevents our overall progress? So I think that's going to be an interesting session to attend. Another key piece about inclusive leadership, Quint, that I think is fundamental is the notion of really building more sponsorship. It is an essential element in creating an inclusive culture. And we're going to have several sessions that talk about, you know, how to be a sponsor and what does sponsorship do? And how can leaders leverage it to really be an accelerator for underrepresented group representation and really career advancement of those populations. And then ultimately that will impact, you know, a workforce culture transformation. So we have a lot of sessions on the DEI space, and I think that it's going to be a key piece, not only in our current framework or what we're doing around Congress, but what we're doing around, you know, content development within ACHE and how we're infusing, you know, the concepts and the fundamentals of DEI into our own content map that we are delivering across all of our programs.
Well, you know, I love this. And, you know, I'm seeing more DEI add a B to it. I don't know if you're seeing that. It's DEIB, which means belonging, which ties into that very, very well. Well, the gender equity gap, and it's interesting because, you know, I mentioned a lady called Mary Parker Follett, 1927. She was a social worker who came up with the term transformational leadership. And you wonder, she doesn't get the credit that a lot of people get. First of all, I think because she was a woman. I think she was in a male-dominated world back then, you know, 1927, 28. She died in 33, so she didn't have a real chance to play it. But if you look at her work, it's really, to me, what we're getting back to right now. And you bring it up, you know, for years, we had more males at the top managing 83% of the workforce was women. And I used to talk, we created great cultures for ourselves, just not for the other 83% of the workforce that we worked with. And I'm seeing so much talent in this arena, and you're seeing the change as we speak. So why don't you talk about the gender equity gap that you guys are going to be presenting on?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of sessions around that address that issue of the gender equity gap. And I think, you know, this is, again, part of that overall construct of addressing transformational leadership. And, you know, because of the complexity of the things that we are talking about and dealing with in healthcare and how, you know, different issues ultimately intersect with one another, you know, I think addressing the gender equity gap in executive leadership is an essential element in us thinking about inclusivity and what it means to create a culture that allows everyone to belong, as you just said, and added that B into that idea of, you know, how can we help everyone further advance? You know, we have a really deep bench of women speakers at Congress. I think we have some fabulous executives that will be talking across all of our sessions that are on this specific issue. You know, one that I think in particular is our women's healthcare executive address. It's a breakfast that is on Tuesday morning at Congress. And Michelle Richardson, she's a board member and vice chairperson for Advocate Health. She's going to talk about, you know, how women leaders are frequently evaluated in tactical terms versus, you know, thinking through the strategic direction and the main decisions that they are making around strategy. And she's going to talk a little bit about the importance of female executives to focus more time on strategy and really transformative leadership elements. And I think the other piece that she's going to really hone in on and I think support is just how can leaders today, women leaders, really amplify their voice, not only to support those that are currently in those executive roles, which are too few, as we all know, but really supporting and paving the way for future women leaders so that we can really advance that cause and close that gap for gender in the healthcare setting. You know, there's some other speakers that are really going to talk about this specific issue as well. Jennifer McCollum, who I know you know from Linkage, she's going to talk about the context of gender disparities and the trends that we're seeing in the workforce that are creating unique challenges for those that are in a leadership capacity. So I know she's going to share some critical insights and four critical areas that organizations really need to focus in on right now to advance the cause for women's leadership. And then we have, you know, a number of executive women executive panels across Congress that really are going to emphasize, you know, this notion of identity and how do you understand your own identity as a female leader and really develop those unique strengths that you have as women. And how can you use that to, you know, ultimately impact your own team's development and more broadly their performance. So I think we really care greatly about this issue. And I think it's going to be fundamental as kind of the construct of really thinking about developing leaders broadly to be transformative in their approaches, restorative with those workforces, and really thinking through how to support and engage people broadly.
You know, we always talk about recruitment and retention, and you and I are both on the board of CAMI, and I know we both are connected with AUPHA, all these students that are in healthcare administration. I probably think over 50% are women. So we got them coming in, but that doesn't mean you're going to keep them. So I think what you're really talking about is almost a retention strategy for all these wonderful people that are earning healthcare that are going to change healthcare. And people ask me why I'm so optimistic about healthcare, and that's it. I get to talk to students on a regular basis, and I'm pretty pumped about that, that whole idea of what they do. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other things you're seeing with some of the complexity. And you got, I'm going to combine complexity of healthcare with filling the cup, because you can go right into both topics, because we talk about replenishment. Why don't you address those issues?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of replenishment, you know, really is that being with others and knowing that you're not alone in life in this journey. And that's part of, I mean, all of this really has a lot of intersectionality, you know, when you think about that be in belonging, and filling your cup means that you're just not feeling alone in your own journey. So a lot of people have different roles, right? And they're navigating those roles, and some of them have profound impacts at a high level on what organizations do and drive towards strategy, and others are at a very practical approach with what they're doing to impact patient care and delivery as a clinician or an administrator. And so I think, you know, what we have to do is give people a space to feel that they are part of something, and that their unique challenges daily are not solely on their sides, and that they have others that are going through them. And I think that's what Congress really does in sense of letting people feel a sense of fellowship. You know, we have a lot of networking throughout Congress intentionally, because as you're going through a didactic session and hearing this really great content, you kind of want to speak about it with someone else and start to apply that and make it feel like another connection that you're layering in. And I think that is an essence of, you know, what it is important for people to gain that interactivity with others, to just feel that they are part of something bigger, and that there is a movement, and that there are things that they can do broadly together and individually to impact that. So I think, you know, filling your cup is hearing from another CEO and saying, oh, okay, I'm not alone in this issue. Others are going through the same problem I have. They're just tackling it differently, and perhaps I can learn something from them. And just being that, having that fellowship element of sustaining a peer network helps you feel more replenished.
Yeah, I agree. I think just walking in last year, sort of seeing Bill Santilli, who I've known forever, just made a difference for me. It's just the way it is. We feel connected or running into people. Now, you talk about the complexity. I'm going to move right into this topic. I find it's hard to see around corners when you're so busy just trying to make sure, can I get this thing staffed today? Can I make payroll today? Construction costs have gone way up. It has interest rates. We get mirrored so much in today that we might not have as much time. And you talk about strategy and women. You've got an unbelievable lineup of, I would call it looking around the corner. And some of it's not around the corner. It's right in front of us. Speakers talk about technology and innovation. So why don't you talk about that for a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think we actually mixed up our speakers a little bit this year, because I do think, you know, the stuff we're tackling is difficult, and it's all intersecting at one time. You know, workforce shortages didn't happen overnight, and the issues that we're dealing with in terms of societal, or, you know, even the geopolitical components of, you know, what you have to navigate in the current environment, it didn't happen immediately. So what we've done is we've pulled together some different folks to help us kind of align our thinking and at least get people exposed to it. So, you know, at a macro level, we have Fareed Zakaria. He's going to come and talk about some of those geopolitical elements, what's happening around the world, how does that impact you at a local level as a healthcare leader? And I think that'll be really interesting. He's also going to give a little inspiration on it, that, you know, it is a challenging moment, but, you know, we can still have optimism. We can still find and carve a path forward. And I think interestingly, on the futuristic side of things, you know, a separate keynote we have is Amy Webb. And I just spoke to her on Friday and with some other folks from the team, and she's going to be fascinating. She's going to do a really deep dive into, you know, healthcare, and she uses major data points to identify current issues impacting people today, how your decisions today will impact and change your tomorrow, and what you maybe aren't thinking about or addressing today that could have a profound impact in improving your direction. So I think what she's going to do in terms of her data and sharing out some of these models, she's going to really redefine what are table stakes pieces for hospitals and health systems today. What are elements that people aren't doing that they have to start doing? And I think while some of it may seem rather, you know, dark and gloomy, because there are a lot of ominous forces happening in today's environment, she's going to say that you can change that. And I think that's a piece that we all have to reflect on in our leadership capacity, is that we can dictate what the future brings us if we are, you know, focused on big thinking and problem solving in a way that is really addressing short and long term at the same time. Another piece that I think is going to be really interesting at Congress, and it's also a little bit futuristic, but perhaps more near future, is this notion of positive disruption. And we're going to have Dr. Ven Gupta from Amazon come and talk to us. And I think what he's going to really focus on is the interface of technology and healthcare. So that'll be a fascinating talk. I mean, you know, Amazon's done some recent announcements where they are really going into the at-home pharmacy delivery space and using their kind of infrastructure to redefine what that means. And so he's going to talk about, you know, how can we think about this push-pull notion of innovation and regulation, and how can we really address, you know, and utilize technology to meet consumers' needs and demands. So I think he's going to give us a glimpse into the future in terms of what we could leverage differently to make things, you know, improved, not only for patients and the outcomes that they receive, but also driving value and cost reduction. And I think that's going to be a fascinating talk.
Well, as we get close to wrapping up, let's pop to fast forward to what speakers are you most excited about this year?
Yeah, I have a long laundry list, and I'm lucky that I get to go see a lot of stuff, Quint, including your talk. So I'm really thrilled about what we can do, you know, as staff at ACHE. But, you know, what I'll just say are the two that I am definitely not going to miss. So the first up, I think, is the AHA Health Policy and Politics Update. This has been a staple at Congress for years. It always talks about what is current on the legislative agenda and how the AHA is supporting that. And I think this year we've really reframed it. So we're taking it to a whole different level. We are switching things up in terms of even the format of this talk, and it's going to be a moderated talk with Rick Pollack, the CEO and president of the AHA. And he's going to be joined by Stacey Hughes, who's the Executive Vice President of Government Relations and Policy at the AHA. And they're going to do a deep dive, not only into current things happening in terms of the legislative front, which we know is going to be very dynamic in this new Congress that we have, but they're also going to really talk about, you know, the broader strokes of AHA strategic initiatives. What are they doing specifically to help hospitals? So I think it's going to be really cool. And one thing that I absolutely love about the way that they are thinking of this talk differently this year than in prior years is, instead of holding questions till the very end, they're talking about, you know, as they go through topics in this fireside chat format, letting people ask those topics and those questions along that same time. So, you know, there's a lot of breadth to what they can address in that session. So that's going to be really interesting and a not miss. And then the other one that I think is a must-see, and you mentioned Bill Santulli as a friend of yours. And so I'm really excited to see Gene Woods and Jim Skogsberg. You know, both are fellows of the college, and they're the co-CEOs of Advocate Health. So, you know, their leadership insight session on mission, margin, and the future state of, you know, system success, it's going to be very, very interesting. That's going to be on Monday afternoon. And this session is going to pull together, I think, some of the broader strokes that I've already talked about. You know, how is retail health and, you know, some of those sessions that we have with Walgreens, Walmart, and Uber, how are those impacting healthcare? What is the technology disruption? How is that impacting it? How can you kind of bridge it all together so that health systems can really evolve and they can find a new and carve a new path forward that not only looks at really meeting consumers where they're at and changing some of their own delivery models, but having a more sustainable approach, because you want to adhere to your mission and you want to grow overall capacity and really help people have expanded access to care. But while at the same time that you're doing that and addressing kind of change in delivery models, you want to make sure you're adhering to a sustainable approach and understanding that, you know, without sufficient margin sustainability, you can't achieve your mission. So that's going to be a really dynamic session and one that is definitely not going to be missed by me.
Well, you know, I go back, this is really ages me. I don't want to age the others here, but I go back to Jim Skogsberg when Lloyd Dean was the vice president. And we'll go back to the old days of Good Samaritan and Christ Hospital and watching what Jim has done and how he's done it. And I think when him and Gene announced this consolidation at first, people are saying, well, gee, I don't understand that. But I think going to this session and figuring out what they see is, you know, it's that whole idea, you skate where the puck is going. And I think that's one of the things they're going to talk about. Well, as we wrap up, David, I just, you know, I've been blessed with so many things in life. And one of my blessings is getting to know you and the work of ACHE. And everybody that's listened to this podcast, when you talk about things like belonging, purpose, inclusion, wanting the best for everyone, that certainly would identify who you are. So thank you so much for the difference you make in healthcare. And I'm just completely blown away by what you and Molly and the team have put together at Congress. And I know it's going to be a packed house, but most importantly, it's not what you go in with, what people are going to leave with. And what they're going to leave with is a way to make healthcare better. And that's what we're all about anyway. So thank you, David, for being on this podcast.
Thank you so much, Quinn.
Thank you for listening to the Busy Leaders Podcast, a catalyst for inspired action, hosted by Quint Studer. Please subscribe, rate us, and write a review. For more information, visit thebusyleadershandbook.com.